Hey there, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Local Influencers Podcast. I'm your host, Abel, and today I am joined by Mike of the Unboxed Sneakers and Vintage Shop. Mike, how's it going, man?
How you doing? Doing good.
Good, and I'm glad to have you on. Thanks for joining me today and kind of working around. I have a tight schedule, so thanks for working around that. I appreciate it. So, Unboxed Sneakers and Vintage. I think everyone knows, if you're into shoes and stuff, or even if you're not, like I'm really not into shoes and stuff, but everyone knows that they are a big deal. And your shop is essentially like hard to find sneakers and kind of like vintage stuff. So what made you kind of get into this? Were you like a collector of this in the beginning? Is that how it started, like as a hobby, or how did you come up with this idea for, like, you know, basically a store, you know?
So it all started, honestly, it started my freshman year of high school. I had this buddy named Jason. At the time, I liked sneakers, really wasn't like too into it. I was like, okay, let's go to the mall, find some shoes. And then, you know, grab those. That's my shoes for the school year. But when I got to high school, I met them, like I said, my buddy Jason. He showed me the whole other side of it. Mm-hmm. And, like, he showed me, like, the restorations. And that's just, like, taking old sneakers and restoring them into, you know, say, making them new again. The buying, selling, trading aspect. The harder to get sneakers. And, open, like I said, open the door to a whole nother world. And so from there on out, like literally the rest of high school, my main focus was have the freshest sneakers in high school. No matter what day it was, whatever, I had to have the freshest sneakers. So at the time I was 14 and I didn't have no money, you know what I'm saying? Couldn't get a job. So I was hustling up somehow, buying new shoes, fixing them, trading them out, getting new stuff. And then once I turned 16, I actually got a job at Wendy's, and every page, it was in the one in the mall too. So every paycheck I had went to the next sneaker drop that weekend. I remember one time I would get dressed up in my Wendy's uniform, right, and go to the mall and tell the security guard, like, yeah, I'm about to go to work. Can you let me in the mall early? And they wouldn't even worry. They'd be like, okay, come in. And so I would literally go and just kind of wait in front of the Wendy's for a little bit, and then probably about 5 minutes before they opened all the other doors, I would run to the Foot Locker and get first in line. So yeah, that was my finesse to get the sneakers back then. Obviously it's not that easy, but it definitely takes some things. But that's pretty much what started it all. And then from there, I always wanted to, you know, as you get closer to high school, get closer to senior, you got to figure out what you want to do, right? You're going to go to college. Are you going to get a job? What's your plans? So obviously I went to school, went to college, went to UTSA. Was out there for years, was here at Del Mar for 2 years. And in that process, I was like, man, I really want to open up a sneaker store. In that aspect, I always knew I wanted to do sneakers, but it was the clothing part that was kind of, it was always that gray area. So I hadn't really figured out the sneaker or the clothing part yet. I wanted to kind of be like a PacSun, you know, have like the Hurley, the Fox, all that stuff. But that kind of came and died out a little bit. And then vintage really started popping. So right when it was time for me to open up the online store, I said, well, let's run with vintage. So I went with sneakers, the vintage, and then from there, I was online for 2 years while I was finishing out college up there at UTSA. And then once I graduated, came over here back down to Corpus and opened up Unboxed.
Awesome. And so now, you know, you've kind of, you, like you said, you saw the other side of it, right? And you got hooked, right? So how did you come up with the name Unboxed? How did that come about?
So obviously when I started, it was mostly sneakers. That's why it's kind of sneaker themed, mm-hmm. Unboxed. I saw it as, we didn't have a store, right? So we didn't really have nothing to like kind of put out there. But I figured as long as we're shipping sneakers to you or you're getting them in person, you're unboxing it. You're unboxing a brand new pair of sneakers. So, or whether it's a bunch of clothing, you're unboxing a brand new pack of clothing. So that's kind of how we saw it, Unboxed.
That's funny. That's a smart marketing move right there too.
Exactly.
Very smart.
And then I figured, like, you know what I'm saying? We can go anywhere with it. Even if we're shipping out records or, you know, memorabilia, it's, you're unboxing all types of new things that you order from us.
That's a whole thing on YouTube and Instagram, is like unboxing, like, it's like unboxing channels where they just like, that's literally all their content.
Exactly.
I do that with one of my other podcasts. We do Funko Pops and like Pokemon stuff. So we do like unboxings and kind of stuff like that. It's kind of, that's my vice there. That's why I have a green screen, because I don't want anybody to see all my Funko Pops in the background. But that's a cool, that's a good marketing move, and it's smart. It kind of goes both ways, like you said. So you slowly transitioned into like you're getting some vintage clothing, and I see like apparel here, like on y'all's Instagram and stuff. How did you slowly start saying like, you know what, I like the shoes and everything, but I want to add to it. Like I want to add more depth for like, you know, basically your clientele, your customer, whatever it is. Like what made you kind of want to venture into that? Cause that's like a whole nother monster, you know?
Exactly.
That as well.
It is. So, like I said, when I wanted to open up the store, you can't have sneakers and not clothing. So, but at the time we hadn't really specified on what kind of clothing we wanted to do. And then I remember going back to a sneaker show here in Corpus. It was called Laced Up. It was back in like 2011. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe like 2012. I still have the actual like flyer postcard from the event. And there was some guy selling vintage jackets there. And I was going through and I was like, man, these are crazy. Like, but prices at that time were pretty high. Like nobody was doing it. So he was like monopolizing the whole area. And I was like, all right, well, that's cool. You know what I'm saying? And I thought back to that. And then I just started sourcing, looking up for vintage tees and seeing what people were into as far as like band tees, movie tees, rap tees. Obviously, you can't go wrong with that. People love nostalgic things, especially when it comes to sports. Like right now, I have an Atlanta Hawks tee on. So if you're a Hawks fan, you know, this is something you'll gravitate towards. Same thing whether it goes Astros, Cowboys, or if it's music. You know, people love and they hold dear to their heart people who they grew up listening to, grew up watching, grew up watching on TV, things like that. So I feel like this hits a real an emotional aspect to the selling point.
Yeah, that's cool. And like people that are into sneakers and stuff, like, aren't they called like, what do they call them? Sneakerheads? I don't know if that's still a thing. Like, right?
Yeah, sneakerheads.
I know a lot of people, a lot of my friends are really into it. It's wild. It's like, I know like Jay Vibes, you know, he's really into that scene and all that too. So I think your shop, you're actually located, you have you're located inside of Relentless Barbershop, I think it is, right?
Yes. So we're inside two Relentless Barbershop.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry about that.
No, you're fine.
And so when people come to you for sneakers and stuff, do they go for more of like the hard to find stuff, because I know it's, you know, you kind of specialize that, or are they looking for like something they may have missed out on? Because I know like shoes have like drops, like they'll drop and like, you know, only certain people get them, like the lottery systems that they have nowadays for those. Do they come in looking, do you find it like people looking for the most current things, or would you say that they are just strictly kind of looking for like the more vintage and classic, you know, styles?
The way I put it like this, there's two types of consumers when it comes to the sneaker market, in my opinion. There's the average consumer who just wants, or this average sneakerhead consumer. I don't want to say the average consumer because that person doesn't care about these sneakers. He just wants, you know, whatever's cheap, whatever's affordable and comfortable. That's the main sneaker consumer. Then there's the regular sneakerhead consumer who wants kind of what's hype. You know, the Dunks, the Air Force Ones, the Jordan Ones, things like that. The stuff that kind of just came out that they're like, okay, I missed that one. Let me get that one. Then you have the true, like, in my opinion, sneakerhead consumer, which is the guy who remembers and did the research on stuff that came out in 2009. And I haven't seen this pair in 10 years. Like, I may never see this pair again. I have a pair. If you give me 1 second, I can go grab it. Actually,
yeah, go ahead, man.
It has a funny story with me. It's a Nike SB Dr. Feelgood.
Oh, okay.
White laces. It's got faux alligator or crocodile on the front, red swoosh, all green suede, and then again on the back.
Oh, that's cool, man.
I bought this shoe back in like 2012 for $75. A good sneaker. I sold it once I was starting up the business. I needed some money to, you know what I'm saying, convert. So I sold a bunch of sneakers for my personal collection to get started. And this was one of them. That was in 2018. I saw this shoe last year for the first time since in my size. And I couldn't, I think I paid $120 for it. I couldn't let it go. And that was a steal price. Like now these shoes are going for like $300, $400. But the guy, I told him the story, and he was like, okay. He's like, honestly, I didn't pay much for it. He's like, so I can hook you up. Just let me make some money. And I was like, fine with me, bro.
Dude, that's but awesome.
Again, I was at a show 2 weeks ago. Somebody offered me $300 for him, and I was like, I can't let him go. I let him go the first time. I never saw him again. So that's a shoe. Like, again,
you're like,
yeah, I think this one came out in this is a 2007 shoe.
Okay,
so and they only dropped it once. It never retroed, nothing like that. When it comes to Nike SBs, they don't re-retro. They've retroed a couple pairs, but
that's wild. It's funny because like I'm in, obviously, like I said, I'm into collectibles and stuff, but I'm more of just like the hey dude guy, like the shoes because they're comfortable, and I'm that's just my shoe, right? But like it's funny just because shoes are like my uncle, he collects them, and he always is like in the lottery system, and he does kind of both. He likes the vintage, he'll go after like old shoes. But I walked into my uncle and aunt's house one time, and he has like this huge like wall, and it's like this, it looks like a clear case cabinet, and it's just all the shoes displayed.
It's just like a bunch of bins, right?
I'm like plastic bins. Yeah, it looks like a bunch of plastic bins, but it looks real nice, and he has like LEDs in it and stuff, right? And I'm like, this is literally like my Funko Pop collection, but it's like shoes, you know? Like people freak out like when I tell them like my Funko collection, it's like about, I think the last time I checked, the value was like a $22,000 or something like that.
Damn.
And so, but shoes, he was telling me, you know, he was like, yeah, these shoes are a lot of money. I don't remember what he told me it was, but he was like, they're worth like so much money. I'm like, man, I buy like a $60 pair of Hey Dudes, and I'm like, damn, that hurt my pocket. Like, I wish I didn't spend $60 on those shoes. But what is your favorite thing about like the shoe aspect, like that business? Because you have to be passionate about what you do. Right, because if you're not passionate about what you do, especially, it's different if you just have a job and you're not passionate about it, you know. But if you have your own business, you have to be passionate about that because you have to keep it going, keep it thriving. So, what keeps you passionate about it? What is it about it that like makes you like excited and want to keep on doing it every day?
Honestly, it's dealing with things I love. You know what I'm saying? That's obviously number one. Dealing with the things I love, sneakers. I could look at sneakers all day. I could go to sneaker shopping all day, every day for a whole year and never get bored. Because I'm always like, well, maybe I might find that one thing that I didn't see at the last store. Every time I go to the mall, I have to stop at the sneaker stores. Even if I was just there 2 days before, they might have something new that wasn't there yesterday. So it's a state, you know what I'm saying? That's why I try not to go to the mall too much. Otherwise, I waste time there. Because it's a lot of the same stuff, yes, but there are some older pieces that like they just re-retroed the T-Max and they're on sale at the mall. So I'm waiting for it to drop just a little bit lower and I'm going to go grab my pairs because I know nobody's after the T-Max, but I grew up watching my brother wear them and I was like, yo, I always wanted those. So
and now
I like, can't wait to grab those next. But really it's the buying and the flipping. It's really like, that's what's like really gives me like the urge, like getting these for $120, selling them for $250, like doubling up. Like that's like seeing that happen from one day to the next is like, okay, this is fun. Like just the flipping factor.
I was like, you got to get that instant gratification, right? Like you got it. And then like, and then not only that, but then you see the person who got it, like they're like probably all pumped about it too. You know what I mean? So
exactly.
It's like double adrenaline rush.
Yeah, like I was saying with these, the guy, I wasn't even selling these. I was actually going to take them to wear them that day, but I ended up wearing another pair. So I just kind of left these to the side, and the guy saw them, and they weren't even laced up or nothing. They were just kind of in the box or in the bin. And he was like, damn, how much you want for those? And like, I sold that guy like three other pairs that day, and he was just like, I need those. He's like, I can't, I've been looking for these forever. And I was like, well, you're going to have to keep on looking, man. And he just kept going up with his price, and I was just like, they're not going nowhere.
You're like, this thing right there in that bin.
Yeah, I said, they're just going to stay right there. I was like, you can look at them, but they're staying here with me. I can tell you that right now. Like, I let them go once. I won't let them go again.
And so these events that you talk about, I know that you're looking into Relentless, but do you do like the pop-up shops and pop-up events and stuff as well?
Yes. So actually, we do shows out of town. We do shows out of state. I've gone as far as Florida to set up. I've gone as far as Houston, San Antonio, obviously all the Texas areas we want to try and hit, get those markets as far as the Texas markets go. But we've done them here too. We did the Kicking It by the Bay. That was actually brought to you by me and Jay Vibes and a couple other friends.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, so we're the one that put together the Kicking It by the Bay. That was a fun experience. I'd always been to great sneaker events, and I felt like it was time to bring one to Corpus, since Corpus doesn't really have too many much going on here like that.
Yeah, I love that. That's why I like to talk to so many people, because Jay is like a kind of good friend of mine, and he's actually on my team because we're throwing a convention next year together, about 14 of us. And so we're having a convention, and it's going to be, that's a different conversation, but it's going to be a convention because of the fact that there's not a lot happening here, and in the city, I feel like there's so much potential, like, especially at the American Bank Center, right there, it's on the water. Like, you have those views, you have it's like people from out of town could come. What we take for granted every day is, like, people, when they come here, they don't have like that ocean view of, like, So they're like,
exactly.
Hey, it's nice here.
To us, it's like, okay, whatever. To them, it's like, oh, I'm landlocked. I can't do none of this.
Yeah. Especially, the people, I have friends that are in Houston, and, they can go to Galveston and stuff, but they have to travel, and Houston traveling is disgusting, So,
yeah.
And so, for them to come here and they can go to a cool convention and they'd be right on the beach or the ocean, it's like a getaway from them. My friends from Dallas, the same thing, So,
exactly.
It's cool, to talk to people like you that are doing things in small, different niches, but to bring awareness to the city at the same time.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, we had a bunch of vendors go to North Beach, and they're like, oh, I love it. And I was like, oh, that one's cool. I said, you should definitely go to JP. It's a lot better, in my opinion. And they're like, for real? And I was like, yeah, that's the one to be at.
Yeah, they think it's just because it's the water and some sand. They're like, this is the beach. I'm like,
I wouldn't go to that one personally. I'd just drive by it. But if I'm going to go to the beach, I'll make the trip out there.
And it's hard for me because I go to California quite a bit. And I was just in San Diego and La Jolla. And those beaches is like, it's
beautiful,
way different. Right? So, you know what I mean? Yeah. But people are like, man,
water out there is cold, cold.
Yeah, I know. I went just recently and couldn't even, it was pretty hot out, but you still really couldn't get in the water because it was just so cold.
Mm-hmm.
So what is one of the things that is, would you say, if someone was interested in starting up a niche business, whether it's just any kind of collectible or, maybe it's vintage apparel, whatever. What are a couple of things that you wish that you would have known when you started that you might be able to give to our listeners that are interested in starting something of their own?
Don't be afraid to experiment. Really, that's how you find the moneymaker, because you could follow what somebody else is doing to the T, but it may not work for you. Definitely experiment with all types of new things. See what you like. That's another thing. Buy what you like, because if you like it, there's a million other people. There's more than a million people in the world. Somebody else likes the same thing, straight up. I've noticed that. And like I said, don't be afraid to experiment. Try new things. You may see, these types of tees, or in my opinion, these types of tees sell like crazy. As soon as we get them, let's keep going after those. Or stuff like this, it sits for a little bit. Let's not focus so much heavily on that. Networking, meet new people. Try and bring up what you do in every conversation you have if you can. Don't force it, but if it feels genuine, throw it out there. Let them know who you are. Get your name out there too.
Awesome, man. And so we've reached the time of the podcast where you can plug anything and everything you'd like. So where can people find you on social media? If you have a website, anything that you want to share, now is the time to do that, sir.
I'll keep it pretty simple. All our social medias are the same, except TikTok. That one's Unboxed Mike, which is my personal TikTok. But all our social medias are the same. It's going to be Unbox Shop, UnboxedShop. That's on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And on Whatnot. Whatnot's an auctioning app that's going on right now. We've been utilizing. It's a really nice platform. But as far as in-store shopping, if you want to come check us out, we've got reasonably priced stuff. Great stuff, sneakers and vintage like that, hats. We're inside Two Relentless Barbershop. It's literally 5417 Staples, Suite 107, right next to Gemini. Can't miss it. It's in the Blossom Shop.
Awesome, man. And I will have that information in the show notes for you guys. So you can just click on the link and follow the social media and kind of follow Mike and his unboxed journey, man. So thank you for being on, Mike. I appreciate you. And for all of the listeners out there, wherever you are listening, please make sure you head out into your community and make a positive change. Till next time, guys, have a great one.
Thank you. I appreciate it.